Welcome to How Leaders Lead. I'm Kula Callahan, here to bring you another edition of Three More Questions with David Novak. David, we're actually in person today recording this episode, and it is so good to look across and see your actual face and not a computer screen.
That's very nice of you to say, and it's nice to have you in my home here as we prepare to do some videos to talk about my upcoming book, How Leaders Learn, and very excited about the day.
In today's episode, we're debriefing your conversation with Jon Rahm, professional golfer and defending Masters champion. So when this episode airs, the Masters will be wrapped up. I got to know, who do you have winning this year?
Well, I'm going to stick with Jon Rahm. The proverbial favorite is Scottie Scheffler. When you look at all the statistics, he's going to win by 7 or 8 strokes, you know. But nobody ever does. It's always an exciting tournament. It'll be very, very tight coming down the stretch, and I can't wait to watch it. It's the way how I start every spring. I mean, I think everybody really loves the Masters because you get to watch beauty on television, see all the azaleas in bloom. And it just kind of tells everybody, hey, spring is here. Get out the golf clubs. Get out the bathing suits. Let's go have a good time.
Well, I too love the Masters. And David, you and I are both huge golf fans. So I'm excited to nerd out about golf and about your episode with Jon Rahm in today's Three More Questions. So let's get going.
All right. Fire away, Kula.
Question number one. David, we both love the game of golf, and I know a lot of our listeners love the game of golf, and we all got to know, what is your favorite Masters memory?
Well, I have been a big fan of Phil Mickelson, and I've rooted for him for years, and I always wanted him to win a Masters. He had the game for it. He had the short game, which was spectacular, and finally, in 2004, he makes that putt on 18, and he jumps as high as he can, which is not that high. And I was doing the same thing in my living room in Louisville, Kentucky. I was so excited to see him finally get that Masters win because he'd come so close so many times before. And another victory that I just have to talk about is Jon Rahm's. You know, I've gotten to know Jon Rahm over the years. We've partnered in a few events. He's a very good friend. And when you can see a great friend who you know is just a fantastic guy, walk up 18, so elated that he's got that victory, and see him just celebrate with the kind of glee and joy that you ought to celebrate when you win something that big, I think it's really, really exciting. And, you know, I'm very happy that that Jon won, and I hope he keeps winning a lot of majors. And by the way, one thing that he didn't know that he talked about in the podcast is when he won the Masters, he didn't realize that he's the only European player to win both the United States Open and the Masters.
That's right.
And he's a huge history buff, so that meant a lot to him.
Right. He talks a lot about the other Spanish golfers that he really admires and looks up to in the podcast episode. And it's just so cool seeing him carry that honor of being a European, being a Spaniard, and being the one to wear that green jacket.
Yeah, I loved it when I saw Jose Olazabal meet Jon when he just had finished the 18th hole, and they hugged, and it was a special sight. And, you know, Jon was a big fan, and Seve Ballesteros was his idol. And so he really takes a lot of pride coming from Spain, representing the country, and obviously, you know, following legends like Seve and Jose, and also Sergio, not necessarily a legend, but he has won the Masters as well and on his way to being a legend.
Question number two. Jon was pretty vocal about how he felt when the LIV Golf Tour first came on the scene. He also said that there was no amount of money that would change his lifestyle, and he was content on the PGA Tour and didn't have plans to leave it. Just a few months ago, though, Jon actually decided to join the LIV Golf Tour, and quite frankly, he's caught a lot of grief for it. In the episode, you ask about how he dealt with that negative backlash after having changed his mind about joining the LIV Golf Tour. David, how would you advise leaders to tackle criticism like that after having changed their mind in the public light?
Well, one of the things I always talk about is the first responsibility of leadership is to define reality. And the reality, Kula, often doesn't stay the same. Many times, the game changes right in front of your eyes, and the situation changes and circumstances can lead you to taking different action. In this particular case, I think John did the absolute right thing. Number one, he said, "You're right. You know, I did say I was happy with the PGA Tour. I love the PGA Tour. There's a lot of events I still wish I could play on the PGA Tour. I have nothing but respect for the PGA Tour." But things changed. So what did change? John felt the situation changed very dramatically when the PGA Tour said they wanted to merge with LIV. And basically, what the PGA Tour did was legitimize LIV in a much more dramatic fashion. And it also said to John that, hey, look, these two tours are going to come together. So I'd be kind of crazy not to listen to whatever the financial offers might be from LIV. So he got the financial offers from LIV. And the money was incredibly substantial, and it represented generational wealth not only for his kids, but for kids down the road. And it was just too hard for him to turn down. The other thing was is that John Rahm won the Masters, and he's won the U.S. Open. That changed his life dramatically because that makes him eligible to play in all the majors basically in the next 10 years. And if he wins again, he'll be able to compound that and play in the next 10 years. So, you know, he didn't see a lot of downside. And plus, one of the things he really likes about LIV Golf is team golf. I haven't really gotten into that yet, but, you know, I did watch the LIV tournament this weekend, and it was exciting seeing the teams come down the stretch. And John Rahm's team actually won that tournament. And he thinks that the team golf, which is something he loves from the Ryder Cup, is something that could change golf, make it much more youthful. And he thinks a lot's going on with the LIV Tour that can ultimately be good for golf. So he looked at the facts and said, hey, I'm going to go with LIV. And he changed his mind, but he did it, believe me, with a lot of thought and a lot of analysis. And I think it's okay for leaders to change their mind, particularly when the situation changes and it demands a different viewpoint.
One of the things I love that you said and that John talks about in the episode is, you know, he just said, you're right, I did change my mind. And so I think that addressing that you changed your mind and acknowledging it to the public helps diminish some of the skepticism that people might have. And it allows you to really create trust with the people who might have doubted you for your decision in the
first
place.
I think that's true. And the other thing that he did is he explained why. I think what leaders have to do when you change your mind is let people know why. You just don't change your mind arbitrarily. You know, you got to give people the rationale you had so that people will understand why you're shifting direction, shifting gears. And that's important because you shouldn't expect your people to follow you blindly. There needs to be a strong rationale behind wherever you're taking them.
Question number three. You asked John about his mental process when he's coming down the stretch at a major and needs to play the last three or four holes under par. He stresses the importance of having a routine and just being decisive with the shot you want to hit and the club you want to pull. David, what's your mental process for staying focused when coming down the proverbial stretch in a business situation?
Well, the first thing I always try to remember is that there's always unfinished business. So you might have had success up to that 14th hole, but those next four holes, they've still got to be played, and you've got to finish the business. And so the great thing about business is that there is unfinished business, and it's the challenge of finishing the right way that really makes it exciting. But I think business is no different than golf. You have to have process and discipline around what really matters that keeps you on track. You know, you can't shift the way how you do things back and forth. You have to have a consistency around the things that really matter in terms of people and the key factors that drive results in your organization. And the best leaders identify what those factors are, and then they put process and discipline around it. Now, one of the things that John does in his pre-shot routine is he basically says, what's a good shot look like? And then he gets 100% committed to making that shot. Now, I think 100% commitment is really important to leaders and for brands. You know, when you get caught in between, isn't that when you get your worst results? When you're caught in the middle, the malaise of middle leads you to mediocrity. So if you're 100% committed, you're going to get focused on doing the best you can based on the information you have at hand. And, you know, I'd rather be 100% committed any day than being mealy-mousy about the approach or direction I'm going to take.
I don't know many people who would want to follow a leader who has half made up his mind about why he's doing something or why she's doing something.
Good point, Gula. I agree with that.
So being 100% committed, I agree. I would take that any day over being, as you said, mealy mouse about a decision.
Absolutely.
That was so much fun, David. I love any chance I get to talk golf with you. And what a fantastic episode with Jon Rahm. Good luck to him in the Masters. This will air again after the Masters has already concluded. So we're sending a lot of luck to our friend Jon Rahm.
Now, let's not confuse our listeners. This is not a golf episode. I know you love golf. This is about leadership and applying the lessons of golf to leadership.
Cool. Well, thankful for us, there are many of those lessons that you can learn on the golf course that also apply to business and leadership. Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of How Leaders Lead. We're on a mission to make the world a better place by developing better leaders. And if you carve out a little time with us each and every week, we'll help you build the confidence you need to lead well.
And coming up next week on How Leaders Lead is Kevin Hochman, one of the best marketing people I know, who has turned into a fantastic chief executive officer for Brinker International, which happens to be Chili's and Maggiano's, and two great casual dining concepts that are doing quite well under his leadership.